We got the countdown.
There we go.
Hi, everybody. This is Friends Talk with Cree and
Keita.
And tonight we are here with two wonderful new guests. We'll have them introduce themselves in a second, but we wanted to let you guys know that we are appreciative of your support and that we are excited about tonight's topic, which is on finances. And we're going to get started with an introduction of our two guests. So we'll go from the far left. And because my lady right here is still eating. And let her introduce herself.
Sorry.
And then, it's okay. And let her introduce herself. All right.
Y'all know me. Y'all don't need me to introduce myself, but I am Keita.
Hey, y'all.
Keita.
I am Sherry. I am a representative of the financial community, been in it about 16 years. So let's see what we're talking about today, y'all.
All right.
I'm Aisha, and I'm the director of a nonprofit, and I manage our consignment store, which is an economic development program that raises funds for our programs.
All right. So you guys already introduced myself. Y'all know who I am. And tonight's topic is on financial freedom, financial management in the Black community. So my first question is for our guests, and, you know, I'll probably start off with answering is, what was it like financially growing up into your household? Mm. And I'll start by saying, I don't even know if I knew I was poor because I never went without anything. Like, I don't think I went without, I didn't go without food. I didn't go without clothes. Mm-hmm. It was the fact that, you know, as I got older, I saw name brand stuff that I wanted. And my mom was like, yeah, whatever. You work, you get that by yourself. But I didn't realize that I was poor until I got, you know, to high school, because I had all the basic necessities. I didn't understand, you know, why mom would say no to certain things that I would ask for. Or simple stuff like, you know, candy, or, you know, maybe a shirt or something that I just saw while we were out shopping. And I didn't realize at the time she was saying no is because she couldn't afford that. It was three girls and she was a single mom. She couldn't make me understand that we can't afford that and it's not a necessity. Mm-hmm. So I asked that to you guys. What was it like financially growing up in your household? Mm-hmm. And anybody can take it.
Well, I'll say for me, we were military, so we always had military provide you housing. So we had a place to stay. We had food. I am the oldest of six. So we've always had a lot of different things. I think growing up overseas probably made my growing up different than most people, I would say, in the States, because the things that you see that people are really talking about, you're not really seeing that. So it was never a desire for me to have. We actually probably had three TV stations, maybe, if that what it was. So it's not like you were watching TV and you were influenced by things called like social media. Mm-hmm. So we were good. I still remember when I was moving out of the house and getting ready to go into the service myself and making myself a list of things that I wanted. And I had a list of, I had, you know, being very detailed. I wanted a pink a pair of shoes in every color, and then I want a pair of socks in every color. Pair of jeans in every color, just because I was coordinated, because there was just not anything that I ever asked for that I really didn't have. You know, I guess you just never know what the ceiling really looks like, because right. I didn't have to worry about it. We were good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think growing up, I think my siblings and I, there were four of us.
Mm-hmm.
We had mom and dad. I think we were always aware that money was an issue,
mm-hmm.
but like you, we never went without,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't until I was probably, I mean, well into my 20s that I think I ever spent more than $10 on any one item of clothing.
Oh, wow.
I just didn't ask for it. I knew it wasn't something that I could get. And as mm-hmm. I got older myself, it wasn't anything that I want. I didn't see the need to spend mm-hmm. more than a certain amount of money on anything, because I always had what I needed for less than $10.
Yeah, you can shop like that.
I just wouldn't ask for it. I knew not to. I don't think my parents ever, I don't think we always had, like I said, what we needed, mm-hmm. and much of what we wanted, but we knew what to ask for, what uh-huh. was what was in the realm of possibility, you know? Mm-hmm. And my family always worked hard together, and my father and mother both, they taught, they were my teachers, because we went to independent Black schools for most of our lives, and my parents and friends and community members were actually my teachers. Mm-hmm. So I think because we grew up in a community where everybody kind of had the same set of expectations,
yeah,
and everybody was probably around the same financial, had around the same financial mm-hmm. circumstances, there wasn't a lot of pressure,
yeah, you
know, to have a lot,
yeah,
that we couldn't get. Yeah. Not that we didn't want things from time to time that we couldn't have, but mm-hmm. yeah, we just knew that we had to work together. That's how we grew up.
Okay.
We knew we had to work together to make things happen.
All right. And Keita, what about you?
Well, unlike, you know, some of the other people, it was just me. My mom was a single mom, but she worked for the state of Alabama. So she was making really good money. I am the only child, but my aunt had no kids. So I was, you know, it was like I had two families. Mm-hmm. So again, I didn't have to go without either. So I didn't know about, you know, struggling or anything like that until I got on my own. And got married and did things that I knew I shouldn't have done. Just trying to live a different kind of lifestyle. But growing up, I was given everything that I wanted mm-hmm. by a single mom. So I do know that it's possible. But, you know, things happen.
Does it necessarily help to, you know, give, because I know when I was younger, you know, the saying, money don't grow on trees. I heard that all my life pretty much, and I didn't understand until I had to say it to my own kids, that, you know, does it necessarily help that we give, you know, our kids the things they want as opposed to just what they need so they can understand the value of a dollar? I think that for me, y'all remember those shoes, the British Knights?
Yes. Yes.
When I got a pair of those, I was it. I was it. I wore those things to the
BK. Yeah, the light.
Yes.
With the light.
Oh, yes. Yes. I thought I was it.
You were.
I was. Until I realized what they were. And so I think that, you know, for me, you know, having my own kids, you know, we always want for our kids to have better or do better or both than we had. And I think for some, if not all, that we focus more on the wants as opposed to the needs, which interferes with what the next generation understands about money, or even what we understand about money. So my next question is, what was your understanding about, what was your first lesson about money growing up? And that could, anybody can take that question.
I think for me, growing up, it was just that it was what you needed to be able to pay your bills. Mm-hmm. Meaning, I just can't remember not having something and then wanting something and not being able to have it. But we had other things that we had to do. So with, like I said, with me being the oldest of six, you were always doing things in the house. We got up on Saturday mornings. You knew you were, she cut on the music. You were dusting, you were cleaning your house. You mm-hmm. took care of the younger brothers and sisters or things like that. So I think for me, if you wanted some extra money overseas, they let you bag at the either the commissary or the shopette, which is like a small little, you know, like a gas store, gas station. And that's how you made some little side cash. So for me, it was like, you know, you work to get some extra money and but you appreciated it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the lessons that I pass on with my kids. My son has had a job. My daughter, actually, she's in college, but she's never had a job. But I still have her work in different ways. So that's why I've applied my lessons to her, because I tell her, if you want an A quality lifestyle, you need to be bringing home A's. B quality mm-hmm. lifestyle. So when you ask her for things, you know, but this is the same kid that's outside. You know, we're picking up leaves, or, you know, we're going to equate right. it to something different. I just feel like if you work for it, you feel differently about it. And you take care of it differently. And in my field, I just see it. People who have gotten it, it's like it's their entitlement. And the first time life throws something their way, they don't know how to handle it because they ain't never had nobody tell them no before.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think we make it so easy for kids nowadays. You know, we give them everything, just give. You know, then they don't understand the hard, you know, the hard working of a dollar. You know, I have a son that's just like, oh, I got to get my hair cut. We going to take me. No, you're going to earn your own money to get your own hair cut. Mm-hmm. I just feel like at a certain age, I'm not really responsible for you no more. You need to learn to maintain your own lifestyles. If you decided to get dreads, you need to make sure that you have the money to maintain those things. It's not up to me anymore. You made that decision. I think, you know, we work with a couple of people that have downloaded apps, chore apps, mm-hmm. for their kids. They, if they do a chore, they get paid for it. No, some of those things should be a given, mm-hmm. when you live under your mother and father's house.
You don't get paid for doing stuff that you're supposed to do.
You're supposed to wash these dishes that you ate out of.
Right. Yeah.
That's and I think we make it so easy for kids to, you know, just give, and then when they want, we don't make it, you know, we don't teach Brandy. Them how to
Hey, Brandy.
Hey, girl. We don't teach them how to earn that money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I see that a lot, because they those kids and their parents come into the bank and they just have a full expectation of something different, and life owes you nothing.
Exactly.
And they find out the hard way, because at the end of it, they have nothing. They may have. I had a young man in my office on Friday who has a pair of Versace sunglasses.
Why?
Nice.
And
why?
He's at his mom's house to go to college. I can't remember that one, but he's saving for a car. But you got Versace sunglasses.
Why?
And he got I told him, and I'm really honest with it. You were inside the bank, and I said to him, you got the glasses on, son. There's no sun in here.
Yeah. Right.
And he was just like, oh, you know, but when we got finished, you know, and that's how it is, I think, for my kids. And one thing I did is, I think there's a responsibility that we have just as people. We don't want to talk to other people's kids because people are sensitive about it.
Yes.
But I feel like that's my responsibility. So I've let all my kids' friends know, you bring your kids to my house and stuff, they fair game.
I know that's right.
So I'm going to tell them. Tell them, and I tell my kids, mm-hmm. because you can't hang out with, we don't do the crazy people, because you are, mm-hmm. by virtue of who you hang out with, that's where your trouble coming from.
Yes.
We're not doing that. Mm-hmm. We tell them, your money can never be raggedy. Your mom works, mm-hmm. at a bank, babe. We can't do that.
Right. So there's some statistics that I looked up while we were talking about before we started this topic and going into what we wanted to do, and empowering people and informing people about, especially our people, about, you know, they're managing their money better. One in four Black households live in poverty. Poverty rate amongst African Americans is 22%. It's 22% is more than double the poverty rate amongst whites, which is 9%. Mm-hmm. The income median for African Americans is 39,000. Latinos, 47,000, 65,000 for whites, and 81,000 for Asian Americans. What do you guys think is, where's the gap? What are we missing?
I think the reality is that not only are Black people in this country at the bottom economically, mm-hmm. but wherever you find Black people, anywhere around the world, we're at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have access, most of us, to the basic necessities of life. Mm-hmm. Most Black people around the world don't even have access to clean water. Most live on less than $1 US a day. Mm-hmm. That's just a reality. Mm-hmm. And so it definitely is not a case where, and I notice is what we've been told as Black people, that we don't have what we need because we don't save, because mm-hmm. we're not thrifty. Mm-hmm. Because we maybe not been taught about finances. There are a lot of reasons that we've been given, mm-hmm. as to why that's the case. But the reality is that poverty that we see in the Black community, or that poverty we see among Black people around the world, is based on the theft of the resources of Africa, the theft of the value of labor. Mm-hmm. That Black people have contributed to this economy. And it's a systemic question. You know, the poverty that we experience is a direct result and is related to the wealth that exists in the white world. It's just a fact. The enslavement of African people created a situation where we, as Black people, inherited the poverty, and the white world inherited the wealth that was developed and created through enslavement of African people. So, and it's, and although slavery doesn't exist right now in this, in its rawest form, we still live in a world that was, where the economy was created from slavery, and where the general idea is that Black people do not deserve to make what other people make, that Black people somehow our contributions are lesser, and so our pay is less. The schools that we go to have less. You know, everything that we experience in the society is a continuation of the same relationship that we entered into through slavery. So I mean, there are some things that we can do, of course, but we can't have that discussion without recognizing the basis of it. Basis of it is that.
See, I don't know. I guess for me, in a way, I agree, but I guess working in my industry, I disagree to an extent. And the reason I say that is because we have a basis on where things started, but we can't stay there. We can't go back. We can't change it. And when I look at, or I have people who come into my office, and none of these people, I am surrounded by college students whose parents are dropping money in their accounts. So it's not that they don't have the means of it, but they've just never, you know, had to do anything else different with it. I find as people, no matter what our pay range is, that we blow at least $25 to $50 a month. I found people who are even in extreme poverty would rather run over to McDonald's real quick than go down to the grocery store and buy the food to fix it. I have had to refund as a courtesy. I've refunded fees for people who thought, well, you know what? I just want to do something different. So I decided to try a new restaurant and I overdrew my account. So I think that there is a degree of stuff that can happen because it was taught. But at some point, it's not that the information is not out there. I can't dwell in the space of what somebody did 300 years ago because I'm living today. I'm still teaching my child today, and I need her to be strong and forceful on the money she's going to be making tomorrow. My daughter is a junior in college. Within a year, she will be joining the workforce, and she will have the expectation of paying taxes, doing everything that everybody else is. And I want her to be prepared. She can't come back and say that my mom didn't tell me or somebody else didn't tell me. And I know that things have not always been equal. It will be years before we are equal. We're not even close or even a fraction of where that piece is. But for us to say that that's why, I just see, I guess because of my vantage point, I see it different when I have these one-on-one conversations, because I feel like that's my job in these financial institutions, that if you say you never had no information, my job is to give it to you. It's for free. These people are walking around, and I say these people because that means it doesn't matter anybody, whether it is a grown-up. I have seniors who are 70. I have an 81-year-old grandmother who came in the beginning of last week who now has a $900 phone. So everybody has access. They're expanding themselves because it's the latest and the greatest.
Right.
I think that we have a degree of point at some point that we have got to say as people, okay, so it hasn't been fair, and it may not be fair, but what am I going to contribute? What's my part going to be? Because if not, you throwing your hands up. You might as well say, well, if it's not going to be different, why are we even trying? Why are we working? Somebody needs to be putting in some work somewhere. And in my job, there, I see a lot more that are not, because they feel like, well, things haven't always been fair, so it's my turn. Well, you know, my blessings aren't set up that way. You know, that's why the information, that's why I do things like this. My information, everything that I have came to me. It's my job to share it. It's a ripple effect. When I tell one person, that one person tells somebody and someone, and it goes on. It's about putting that information out there. Once that information is out there, then it's your responsibility on what you do with it. But I do see a whole lot more who have access to a whole lot more. You know different. Once you know the history, it's not the history no more. It's not unknown. Then you know there are different things you can do. And unfortunately, because we've taught our children that that because the white man has more and I don't want you to feel like you're less than, so I'm going to go ahead and give you these things, that they feel like they don't have to work because, you know what, the people before me work, so I ain't got to do the work. So they feel like they can walk around in these same exact people in poverty. And when I say that they come into my office, I see them throughout the week. You may not have a lot of money in your account, but like I said, the young man who is currently not, his mom is driving around with Versace glasses. I have another young man that showed up on Wednesday. He had just bought a pair of $300 tennis shoes, but he was talking about, could you reverse this fee because I forgot that I had to make my credit card payment, or right, things like that. So I just think there's a degree of a culpability or accountability that we have to hold people to, regardless of what your start is, because you got to start somewhere. We can't stay back there. There's just no way.
I hear you. And I agree with you that we have a responsibility to change the conditions that we're confronted with. So that part, I do agree with you on. But to me, I don't think we can have a discussion about finances without dealing with the economy overall. And I don't mean just looking at, you know, what the minimum wage is or what our, you know, imports and exports are. But we live in a world that where the economic system, the order of the day is capitalism. That is the economic system that the whole world currently functions under. And under capitalism, it is a requirement that that masses of people, it's just a requirement that masses of people have very little while a small fraction of the world's population has a lot. That's a requirement. All you have to do is look at McDonald's, for example. How many billions of dollars does McDonald's make a year? Right. But what do the workers who do everything, the CEO and everybody else, they might push papers. And I've been a paper pusher, so I know. But it's one thing to push papers. And it's another thing to do the day in, day out work that makes a company what it is. And the workers get what? $8?
$8 to $12.50.
An hour?
It's on the thing now.
$8 to $12.50, right? Or something like that. Okay, this is what they make. But the CEO probably makes, you know, several million. You know, could be hundreds of million. I really don't know. But it's not unheard of for corporations where the people get very, 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 very little, where those at the top have more than any human being could even imagine spending in a lifetime.
Right.
And that is the economic system that was, first of all, established through slavery and colonialism. There was no capitalism before there was enslavement of African people. So here we have a system that by its very nature exploits people. And that's not just during enslavement. That's what we live under today. So the reality is we have an economic system that is set up to ensure that the majority of the people, and especially us, going to be at the bottom economically all the time. That's the way it's structured. So now you look at a family, let's say, and all of us have experienced this. I mean, maybe all of us, maybe not. Some of us maybe have experienced this. You know, when you have very little, sometimes all you want is to experience not having very little. So you might have nothing. You get your paycheck. Yeah, you might want to take your kids out to dinner. You know what I'm saying? You hustled all week. You ain't had nothing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you want to get your hair done. You know what I'm saying?
I worked hard for that.
But see,
so, that's not my every. I guess that's, and that's why I said, I guess it's a different reality, because I am super sympathetic. I have the ability to go ahead and refund those fees because I'm gonna give it to you. You know what? Things happen. Life happens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. However, I also say that when I'm able to, in order for us to go there, for example, it pulls up transaction history. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be different things. And I'm always, my first thing when I tell anyone is, I'm happy to do this, but let me talk to you so I can make sure you don't fall into this situation again. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I can't tell you how many people, you know, will tell me, You know what? Next time I'm gonna come back, but you're gonna take care of that. You're gonna take care of that fee for me. Okay. And then when you see them, they come in. Oh, I'm still busy. I'm still busy. Mm-hmm. And then they start going through the drive through because mm-hmm. they know you're gonna ask them when mm-hmm. you come inside. Mm-hmm. And even when you're talking about mm-hmm. the McDonald's thing, mm-hmm. the thing is McDonald's is not designed. That guy, that person that is making an $8.50, mm-hmm. you know, it's designed for, you know, young high school kids at side cash. When you are 22, 26, 30, 32, and the thing is at some point there's a sacrifice of something you're making. Either you're sacrificing your money because you don't want to give up your time, or you're going to have to sacrifice your time mm-hmm. going to school to go ahead and get your money at some point. But it's not designed for that. So the income pay is not commensurate. Somebody who is making, who has been there for an extended period of time, because even they have a management. I have a cousin who's who have worked through the ranks and became a manager, is now a GM of a store. They are designed for people to put in a little extra effort. The same thing you said that's different than the person who's making that $8.50, but that if you look at the resumes of that or their CEOs or even their managers, a lot of these businesses are saying, hey, let me pay you to go to school. I'll pay for your school. Let me, you know, but you know what? To be honest, a lot of people are saying, especially in our community sometimes, hey, I don't want to, well, not right now. Not right now. Well, I don't want to do that right now.
I believe that with corporations such as, since we've got McDonald's out here, like, we have children that, you said, because they're hiring high school kids, and then some of these high school kids that aren't ready for life are still looking at McDonald's. Not saying that there's anything wrong with working at McDonald's when you're out of high school, but they're looking at it as, this is the job. They have to work twice as hard as their counterparts. How many, you said you're somebody in your family is a CEO or GM.
She's GM. A general manager.
Okay.
Store.
We don't have that many of them in that type of corporation. So she may have worked twice as hard as somebody, you know, that looks like her, the same age as her, to get that type of position. That's not readily always available to our people. So when we are trying to get jobs to come up and we're working as twice as hard and we're trying to show that, hey, we can give that type of effort too, and we deserve that type of money as well, then it makes it seem that, you know, why wouldn't I try to do something for myself? Why can't I do something? I've been working hard. So why can't I do a little something for myself? I think for our community, I think that sometimes we forget that everybody's struggle has been different. I know you said you came from a military background. Mm-hmm. Keita and I came from a single parent household. My mom didn't work for the state. Her mom worked for the state. You had both of your parents. Everybody experienced life differently. And so with their understanding of finances and money, everybody's going to, you know, they're going to send that information to the next generation behind them differently. So how we get ahead, how do we get ahead? You know, based on different aspects of, you know, how we grew up, how do we break this ceiling of, you know, not being the poorest ethnicity, you know, in the group. How do we get ahead? How do we do that?
I feel like as people of color, we need to do more of building a legacy, owning your own businesses, teaching your kids how to manage and own their own businesses. I know we talked earlier about, you know, owning real estate. You know, teach your kids how to do and manage those things so that they don't think that McDonald's is the place to be, mm-hmm. or, you know, that's mm-hmm. the place to be. I what kills me is to see a young person work at a fast food, use their whole check to pay Michael Jordan money for some shoes, or Gucci and Prada that don't like us right now or never liked us, but go and buy, spend that money to do all those things and never put back into themselves. You can easily start a business with little or nothing. Little or nothing. You have to invest in yourself. You have to do that. And we as people, we say we own a lot of businesses, but we still don't give back to that Black business. Mm-hmm. You own a business. I have still yet to go over there yet. And that's bad on my fault. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like we as a people need to do more on supporting each other and building each other up and doing and owning your own business. Mm-hmm. I wore this shirt today because it's a Planet Fitness shirt. I give y'all $20 a month. And I probably go once a month. And I could spend that money on supporting myself and putting back into my own business.
We pay Netflix. Lord knows. I probably watch Netflix one time a month. And they definitely get their money every month. Every month. And I'm going to say this as a disclaimer. Something that our guest Sherry said. Once you get the information, it's up to you on what you do with it. You know, you can't say you don't know after you learn the information. I think both our guests made a valid point when we understand where the problem is and we say it out loud and we address it, then it's up to us. Okay, to take action. Next step? Yeah. You know, we have to be solution forward focused. Yeah. And so if we're just only just talking and yes, this podcast tonight is to get everybody aware and empowered, but if we're just talking, that's not helping the problem. We need to be action oriented, solution focused, and moving forward.